Well, good day to everybody. This is Pastor Bacino, and I want to welcome all of you to our recorded Sunday message. I'd like to start today with a prayer for all of you and for all of our families. I trust you're all doing well and that you're doing your very best under these difficult circumstances. I know some of you have it a little bit more difficult than others, especially for those who don't like to be shut in. So let me offer prayer for you, for your families, and then for the message. I will do some announcements and offer some prayer requests, and then we'll have a couple of jokes because we need humor. It is God's medicine, and we certainly can use a great big dose of it. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, we glorify you, for thou art truly our God. And Lord, under the difficult circumstances that we find ourselves as a nation and a world, we look to you for deliverance. We look to you for protection, especially, Lord God, for all of our seniors and for all of the folks who have compromised immune systems. And Lord, we know we have dear saints here at Dover First Baptist who are going through that very experience of being full of anxiety because they're not sure that they'll get this coronavirus. But Lord, we pray you keep them from it. Father, we ask that you be in the recorded message. We recognize it is not our usual media, our usual mode of worship. But Lord, we want you in it. So may you unite us all in spirit to come together at our various places and maybe even at various times and worship and praise you. We realize that thou art God and that you, Lord God, are not limited by time or space, and that you are a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we praise you and glorify you. Father, I ask that you'd meet the needs of our people. Help them, O Lord, to know that you love them and that you desire that they cast all of their cares upon you because you care intimately for them. Bless, Lord, the message that I'm about to give, and may it be an encouragement to each and every one. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is still difficult to preach in this matter. I'm doing this from my office. It is about the best thing I'm ever going to get to a studio. And if you hear a car coming up and down the road, I apologize. I can't really find a way to muffle that. But nonetheless, I want you all to know that I'm praying daily for all of you. I make it a point to pray specifically, though, for our seniors. And I ask that you would join me each day to pray a hedge about them, keep them safe. And again, for those who are experiencing compromised immune systems, because we know from the news that they are the most susceptible. Well, I want to give a couple of announcements and then some prayer requests. So let me start with the most important announcement is that we all pray concerning the coronavirus. Pray for our president. Pray for our vice president. Pray for his team, that they'll continually be diligent in the attempt to stop this virus. As for our trustees, we had a meeting planned Tuesday night. I have called a number of trustees, and we decided that it would be prudent to cancel that meeting and to wait on the 15th day presidential report. He's going to give that report on Monday. And that information will provide us with operational options. And once we have the meeting, we're planning to discuss future events and rescheduling options. And we're asking you all to pray with us. Of course, our Awana Grand Prix was scheduled for this Friday night. And the event has been, at this time, postponed. And our hope is to be able to reschedule it. But if we go beyond May at this stay-in-place, stay-at-home ban, then we'll have to, unfortunately, put that off for next year. Or possibly we could do some kind of mid-summer event. In the bulletin that you received electronically, I have a notice in the bulletin that all events are tentative, of course, until the ban is lifted. Prayer service is going on via telephone, and it was a very good experience this past Wednesday. We partnered up with those that come. And if anyone else wants to do that, just feel free to call a friend of the church and pray with them. You'll have the prayer list. But I want you to know that the official prayer warriors that come Wednesday night are teamed up on Wednesday night to pray through the entire list and for the needs of our church, as well as, of course, the pertinent needs that represent themselves in the crisis. We are hoping, and after we hear from the president on Monday and our governor, hoping to possibly have a sunrise service. And we'll let you know more on the details at our next recording. I'm going to offer some prayer requests. First on the list, I'm asking everyone to pray for Ashley and for Trevor Wendover. They covet your prayers because her delivery is very soon. And we're a little concerned because the hospitals are being very taxed at this time. So lift them up daily in your prayers, and we'll let you know as soon as she has the baby, and we all pray for a healthy, strong baby. Also, remember to pray for Frank Harrington and Irene. They're doing well. I'm calling them almost every other day just to check in on them. He does have a doctor visit. I believe it's Monday. Again, we need to pray for safety in his transit. Pray that his leg is healing and that the physical therapy is helping him along. Many of you know that our evangelist Mike Patterson was hospitalized. He was very, very sick. They had to send him home because they had to free up beds for coronavirus patients. He's very weak. He had a upper respiratory infection, which went into pneumonia, and he had a bout with heart failure. So we all need to lift up Brother Mike. And I'm going to be calling him this week to get a progress report. Remember to pray for Ginger's mom, Jean. She's not doing well. She's in isolation. And we ask everyone to remember this dear senior saint. I want to give praise, and I ask you to praise God with me. The Ballards, who were sick last week, were tested for COVID-19, and they were negative. I think I made a mistake and put positive in the list, so I apologize for that. But they are doing well, and they're recovering from the flu. But on a sad note, I'm asking everyone to pray for their family, because Trevor's cousin, Danny, who had leukemia. He passed away this week. So I appreciate if we all could send a sympathy card to the family and let them know that we're praying for Danny's mom and dad. Also continue to pray for Janie's brother Jim and her sister for their health and salvation. Donna's asking prayers for her cousin Mike, who's suffering with pancreatic cancer. And Sydney is asking us to pray for his daughter, Kristen. And she has some health and personal needs. Don't forget to pray for Keith Light's son, Travis. And I guess if the hospitals are continuing with their planned surgeries, he'll have his on April the 21st. If not, I'll relay that information to you as soon as possible. Spoken to Gary Anderson, and he's experiencing some pain in his back, and I think he said his legs. He's been in and out of the doctor's office this week. Continue to pray for Brother Gary. Also, Donna Dana, she seems to be doing somewhat better, even emailing me and helping us out with some information. I hope you all got that on what time our local grocery stores are open for senior citizens. I thought that to be very helpful. Remember to pray for the folks who were shut in, Charlie Pulver, and again, many seniors who can't go anywhere right now. So continue to lift them up. I remember just being shut in during my recuperation from heart surgery. It's very difficult. Last but not least, remember special needs children, Brianna Vincent. I hope you'll take the time to look at the photos that Donna sent us so we can all rejoice in Brianna's new home, and she seems very happy. So take the time. It'll brighten your day. It really will, and you'll see how God's answering prayer. Remember to pray for Brody and Brooke. They're doing well. His last scan was excellent. And, of course, remember the Ross boys, especially Brendan, and all the caretakers. They need our prayers, and we're here to lift them up. I think it's, again, good that we remember at times like this, we need to be in daily devotions. We need to keep in touch with the good Lord. He wants to help us through this difficult time. There are many ways God does that. He speaks to us through His Word. And He also wants us to use the natural things in life. Times with our family and friends. The great outdoors. We still can go outside as long as we're doing it in a healthy way. Remembering our social distancing. One of the things I believe will come out of all of this is we'll appreciate each other and fellowship much more. I know I will. Again, I miss all of you. It's not the same at all preaching to a mic. Well, speaking of laughter, some of you might have heard this joke I'm going to share, but for the sake of others who haven't, and I do know that I'm going to get a big laugh out of this joke. Joel's gone missing, and he needs your prayers. Joel's in trouble. You see, Joel forgot his wife's birthday. His wife was really upset. She told him, "Tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in less than 6 seconds. It better be there." So the next morning, Joel got up early and he left for work. When his wife woke up, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there was a gift-wrapped box in the middle of the driveway. Confused about this, she put on her robe and she ran out to the driveway and she brought the box back in the house. She opened it up and she found a brand new bathroom scale. Well, they got a kick out of that one. Well, this one is for the kids. On the way to work, this guy, he wasn't really paying attention as he drove into the back of a car at a traffic light. The driver got out, and it turned out that he was a dwarf. He said, "I'm not happy." Well, to make matters worse, the guy remarked, "Well then, which one of the seven are you?" I hope you like that one. Yeah, I'm getting a little laughs. All right, enough of that. I think we all got to find ways to cope with this coronavirus, and laughter is one of them. We've been trying to find some good Christian movies to look at on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and reading and praying. Praying is a good way to pass our time, and people do need us to pray. Well, today's sermon is continuing in the vein of last week's sermon. In fact, I think what I'm going to do is to make this a series on Take Heart. The first one was about fear that we did, it's going on 3 weeks. Take Heart and Fear Not. And then last Sunday I recorded the message, which was the first recorded one that we did here in my office, Take Heart and Have Patience. And this particular message that I'm going to do now is Take Heart and Have Hope. So I'm going to read the passage and then I'm going to have a short word of prayer. The passage I'm going to be reading is from Psalm 71. And I'm going to read the first 5 verses. There are many passages in the Bible about hope. And I decided to pick this one because all of the verses kind of talk to us about the current situation that we are all experiencing. It's a Psalm of David. And it begins with David saying, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." And that's what we all have to do. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do have hope and trust in the Lord. And then David says, "Let me never be put to confusion." God is not the God of confusion. He is the God who is a great designer and deliverer. And in the next verse, he mentions that. "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape." And that's the prayer that I pray for all of us, that we will all escape this COVID-19 virus and not be sickened by it. David goes on to say, "Incline thy ear unto me and save me," or deliver me. "O Lord, keep me from these troubles." And then David goes on to say, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me," again, to deliver me, "for thou art my rock and my fortress." May we be resting upon him as our rock. Verse 4, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked." And might I add, God, we pray, deliver us out of the hands of this wicked virus, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And then the last verse that I'm going to read introduces the sermon, David says, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth." Let's unite our hearts together. Father God in heaven, you know that we need hope. May our hope be grounded in you. May our hope be grounded in your word. May our hope be kept grounded completely in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, bless this message. I pray it'll be encouragement. I pray it will help all of us to endure, knowing we'll see the end of the Lord, that this too shall come to pass. May we take heart in your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, I understand that family members, friends, and co-workers, and maybe even you, have been overwhelmed and stressed because of the COVID-19 virus. It has for now changed all our lives. But as I said in my prayers, this too shall pass. There have been viruses and pandemics worse than this one, and they have passed. Some of the remarks that I will make in this recorded message, some of you might have read in my memos throughout the week. And I hope that gives you a little bit of understanding about how a pastor puts together his sermon, or at least this pastor. It is a construction that begins with my daily devotion and my review of the passage that I'm going to preach. And throughout the week, a few little excerpts that I was putting together for the sermon I shared with you in my memo. And again, I hope that that shows you how a sermon is put together. Now this week, as I was doing my devotion, I read that David Barlow, he's a professor of psychology at Boston University, he remarked on generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, G-A-D. It is characterized by persistent and excessive worry about a number of different things. And yes, a little anxiety right now is normal, but folks, constant worry is not. In fact, it will do you more harm than good. So instead of succumbing to GAD, a child of God should succumb to goodness overwhelming daily. And of course, if you look at the first three letters of that word, it spells God. Folks, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. For some of you listening to this message, you may want to challenge that. The Bible says God is good. And all things do work together for good, for those who love God are the called according to his purposes. Well, during Jesus' itinerant ministry, his disciples, they too were experiencing feelings of distress because oftentimes their lives were in danger. And they too suffered misfortune. But our Lord Jesus reassured them, telling them not to be afraid and to take courage. He wanted them to realize that it made very little sense for them to carry their worries when they could cast them on God. And I want you to do that. God, who cares deeply about what is happening. When we're feeling breathless with anxiety, and I know some people I've talked to during the course of this week, they said that this at times have left them breathless. Well, we can rest assured in the power of the Lord Jesus. Let God be responsible for our anxiety. Stop worrying and start trusting Him completely. Find a verse, maybe some that I'll read to you in a few minutes, and claim it. I often claim Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and even through this ordeal, it has calmed me, it's helped me, it's soothed me. Trust the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We need that. We need God to direct our paths, because we live in uncertain times. We will get through this difficult time together, encouraging, praying, helping each other. We cannot fail in our faith. We must implement hope. Let me take you back a few years. We all saw in 2005 the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. It was really bad, if you remember. Thousands of people, they lost everything they had. They were displaced. It was so bad, and people were without hope, that National Guardsmen, they had to confiscate guns, knives, and letter openers from people before they got on the buses to be evacuated from the flooded areas. Why? Because people lost hope. When that happens, they can become dangerous. Stories of looting, shootings, and passing blame surfaced because many thought it was all beyond hope. Well, that too has come to pass. We cannot lose hope. You know, the Bible teaches us that principle. It states in Proverbs 13 and verse 12 that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Don't lose hope. You'll be sick at heart. My message is, take heart. Have hope. Solomon went on to say, but when the desire cometh, that is, the fulfillment of that hope, it is a tree of life. It's like being born again. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment, to see the effect that hope has on undergoing hardships. And we're undergoing quite some hardships now. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour, they had all drowned. Well, the other lab rats were periodically lifted out of the water, held for a bit, and then returned. When that happened, the second set of lab rats swam for over 24 hours. You say, well, why? What was the difference? Well, not because they were given a rest. It was because they had been given hope. Those animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little bit longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. And I believe God's going to rescue us. But we need to have hope and wait on the Lord. If hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, then how much greater should it effect be on your life and mine? When people lose hope, they become desperate and heartsick. So I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject. Take heart and have hope. First, we need to know what is hope. Well, in the New Testament, the word translated hope means confident expectation. We can be confident that God has a purpose even in this COVID-19 virus. And I will share a few of them at the end of the message. But know that hope is sort of the glue that keeps us together in the midst of adversity, trials and troubles and tribulations. Everyone needs to have hope. For hope is the opposite of despair and defeat. Everyone needs hope. And we who are Christians, children of God, must be people of hope and sowers of its divine virtue, especially during this difficult time. You know, hope is mentioned in the Old Testament 68 times and in the New Testament 58 times. And so, 121 times we find hope in the Bible. It must be an important subject. But what really struck me about that word search is that the word hope appeared 16 times in the book of Job. We all know about Job. He was a man that was afflicted. He was a man that had lost, excuse me, and we'll have to fix this here just a second. Sorry about that. Last week I remembered to turn the phones off, and I apologize. Getting back to hope is mentioned in the Old Testament 68 times and 58 times in the New Testament. But my point is that I noticed in Job, it appeared 16 times. And Job went through adversity, but he never gave up hope. And at the end, we know that Job endured and he saw, as James said, the end of the Lord. God had blessed his life greatly because he kept hope and he endured. We all have to do the same. Well, Psalm 31 and verse 24 gives us a very good verse about hope. I'm going to share five verses with you from the book of Psalms. And I hope that if one of these strikes you in your heart or your soul, that you'll memorize it. In Psalm 31 verse 24 it says, "Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Psalm 71:5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation," or deliverance, "but I hope in thy word." Psalm 119 and verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield." And maybe in this time of fear and anxiety, we can allow the Lord to be our hiding place and our shield. And David went on to say, "I hope in thy word." Psalm 147 and verse 11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." Folks, it is unbelievers who are often without hope. We find that truth in Ephesians 2:12. We find that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Many people despair when all seems lost. But for the believer, all is never lost with our Savior. People need hope to live, to know that Christ is our hope. If there is any one word beside the word love that should be predominant to a Christian's vocabulary, it is the word hope. And it is, we Christians are being called upon by our Father to spread it around, because the world that we're living in needs it desperately. We need to be the divine sowers of hope. My second point is that we remember that Jesus is the only hope for hopelessness. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 6. And if you have some time, read that. Verses 17 to 29. Hope is not a word that means a mere possibility, maybe a good chance. Hope, as it is used in the scriptures, is speaking of a ringing certainty. That is, the certain hope of everyone who has been justified by faith. I don't guess maybe I'll go to heaven. I know I will go to heaven because it's not based on anything I have done. It's based on the finished work of Christ. If you really have been justified by faith, you know that you have the promise of God. You can endure as Job did, for you know the end of the Lord. And God is good. And what he does is always for the good. If our joy is found in the Lord, nothing can corrupt it. Not a disaster, not an economic distress, or even a viral pandemic. We were once hopelessly bound to an existence without God and without his Son, our Savior. We know now we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's reserved for us in heaven. Yes, things here on earth may get worse, but our hope is in the Lord. Life may be cold and hard. It may be filled with pain and sorrow. But the minimal promise to all who are justified by faith is that there is a glory beyond that. And it is absolutely certain. For now, we must pray for those without hope and do all we can to show the light of Christ. We must be the good Samaritans and do good and spread hope for thousands of Americans and even others around the world that have been affected by the coronavirus. We do it by doing what we can. We can all pray and give and go the extra mile to reach out to give hope to other people. The hope of a better tomorrow, but greater still, the hope of eternal life. These are times where people are open to the message of the gospel. It does sadden me that too many Christians are going around like, no, there is no tomorrow. We ought to realize the word that maybe this is the time of sorrows, but it is not the time of the tribulation. I believe the church, the bride of Christ, will be taken before that hour. Your hope is in the here and the now. Hope is when we do our very best. Hope is when we do our very best to keep life as normal as possible, because that gives hope to others. Keep on doing what you can do that you did before. Of course, within the parameters of the special mandates that we are given. Continuing school for young people. Working at home, because that's where most of us have to work now. And by the way, pray for those that have to go into the workplace. Some of them are putting their selves in jeopardy. And then we as Christians, we've got to worship the best way that we can. I see hope. Hope is seen when the Republicans and the Democrats work together to put a health and financial relief package together to help all of us as Americans and to help us fight this virus. Hope is seen, at least I see it, when church members help one another. Some this week go into the grocery store for seniors. Others participating in prayer service by telephone, keeping up what we do normally. And then others calling and encouraging each other. And I thank you for doing so. This kind of hope is at its very best. In our society, hope often carries the weak idea of wishful thinking. We say, oh, I hope so. And often it means, I doubt it. But when you read the word in the New Testament, we understand that we are talking about a firm expectation. Titus said in chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. If you're listening to this and you come to a realization that you're not saved, this is the time to be saved. And God promises eternal life to each and every one who calls upon the name of the Lord. And although your heart may be heavy and you may not fully understand that God loves you, Christ died for you, God desires that you acknowledge that you are a sinner. Tell him, God, I sinned against you, holy God, and I'm sorry. I repent of sin, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Surrender my life to him. I want to do my best to follow him. Save me, O God, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you want to talk to me, you know that I'm here to talk with you. That's hope. Hope to get through the trials of everyday life and the hope of the life to come hereafter. That kind of hope has a profound influence, folks, on the way we live. It rises above adversity. Eternal hope infuses us now, right now, with the ability to turn our eyes away from the glitter and the attraction of the world and the heartache and the trouble of the world to a much, much greater light. Some of us are weak in the face of temptation and tribulation because our hope tank is kind of on empty. We are kind of gnawing on the husks of earthly things, trying to get inspired and wondering when this is going to pass and failing to see the great big why of it all. Learn to draw strength from the possibilities God has set before us and learn that God has even a plan in it. We have seen a divided nation over the past 3 years destroying itself. And God has allowed a pandemic to force this nation to work together, to trust in its leadership, and to seek Him and pray. I find that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is appropriate even in this hour. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We are at an impasse. We need God to heal our land. And I ask you to join me in praying that way. I close with a statement that was made by a godly man. But when the rhythm of my days is rooted in reliance on Him, I will bear good fruit. Patience and hope characterize my interactions with others. The God who has revealed Himself to us is our source of strength, wisdom, joy, understanding, and peace. They are the words from Mark Dehan of Our Daily Bread. I trust that you will be in the daily bread every day. Father, I pray for our people. Thank you for them. I miss them. And I lift them up before you. Father, if there is one who is listening, who is not saved, I pray they'll hearken unto the new hope they can have in Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior and Lord. For us who are Christians, empower us. Help us, O God, to be the sowers of the divine virtue of hope to a world that truly needs it in this hour. For I ask it in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen and amen.